When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Here we are, episode 185, the go-home episode of 2020 for Bad Media.
We really Man, Teak was right. We were not going to hit 200 before the end of the year.
Did Teak call that?
He called that like in January. He was asking about that a long time ago. He was right.
Well, Teak is a fortune teller. All right, so yo, 185 is here. And it is December 30th, final episode of the year. 2020 could kick rocks, could get future endeavored, could get whatever.
Fucking riddance.
Whatever needs to happen for 2020 to
get up. We do not wish you the best in all your future endeavors.
Not at all. Oh, man. So, yo, shouts to everybody who may be watching us on Twitch. We're on twitch.tv/mega_rand. And, of course, we always broadcast live on the Geekscape Network as well as the Steel Cage Network, where you can catch us whenever we record episodes. All right. So as we always do about this time, we start off the show with something not wrestling before we get into heavy wrestling. This segment is called The Putovers. This is where we put over things that we are really into that are outside the world of wrestling. So I'm doing a lot of talking, so I'm going to have somebody else go first. G1, what do you got?
All right, my putover is going to be Ma Rainey's Black Bottom on Netflix, which I had a chance to watch on Christmas Day while I was out of town. And Viola Davis playing the role of Ma Rainey. Of course, Viola Davis, great job, you know. All praises due to the beautiful Viola Davis right there. But also, we got to talk about Mr. Chadwick Boseman, because this was his last role. This movie was in post-production when he unfortunately passed away. And, man, when I tell you my brother put his fucking foot in this role, God, man.
Like, I heard a lot of people say, like, this is his best role, which is, really unfortunate.
Man, bro, I mean, anybody that follows me on Instagram at G1 to the Rescue, you probably seen the slight movie clip that I put up of him just delivering a line as this kind of confused sort of, you know, not really a bad guy, but not really a good dude type character. And man, he delivered that role with so much conviction. You could tell that there was also a play, I think, where this movie kind of derived from. So you can tell there's a lot of theatrical line delivering, but man, he showed out. I mean, I love the whole movie, but I can't take no attention away from Chadwick. He showed his ass in this film for this to be his last role. You know, God rest his soul again, man. Another title we lost in 2020 for sure. But Ma Rainey's Black Bottom on Netflix right now. Go watch that shit. Shit was amazing. I got other movies that I could talk about that we'll probably get into at some point, but that was the one that was like, wow.
Yeah, don't talk about it because it might be somebody's put over.
Of course.
So I'm going to put over. We haven't actually talked amongst each other about our put over, so I hope I don't step on anybody's toes. But I always try to avoid Netflix because I know that somebody's going to have something Netflix. But this time, I had to go Netflix. Yesterday, I watched Death to 2020.
Ooh.
You have to watch this.
That was a good one.
It's so good. It's by the Black Mirror creators. So it's got like a heavy British, you know, influence. But
yeah,
like, it's pure comedy. I mean, Tracy Ullman playing the queen. I mean, you got Samuel Jackson. You got Hugh Grant. Kumail. Like, so many just really super funny people in these, like, roles of playing this, this great mockumentary about the death of 2020. Like,
you had me at Sam Jackson and Tracy Ullman. That's it. I'm going to watch that shit right now.
Pretty much. It's so good. And it recaps all of 2020. And I'm thinking, why would I want to recap 2020? It sucked, you know, but it does it in the right way where it's like, yeah, you know, you hated it. We hated it too. And this is why this year sucked. It's really, really well done. So I would absolutely recommend it. Death to 2020 right now. Rotten Tomatoes has it as a 27%, but what do they know? They don't know nothing. It's only about an hour. Hour 10 minutes, and it's a very good watch. And when you think Black Mirror, you think, oh, super heavy, serious. It's not that at all. So I think you'll love it. Death to 2020 on your Netflix streaming right now.
Yeah.
Teak, since I'm only seeing your shoulder, give us your pick. What's your put over, sir?
So since this is our first time recording and, you know, all congregating since Christmas, something that I did during Christmas, kind of like something that I normally do every year, you know, getting older, but going back and watching old, like, nostalgic Christmas programming from when I grew up. So I'm gonna put over some of that stuff. Like, I went back and watched the Garfield Christmas.
No. Garfield. I don't think I ever seen that. Garfield Christmas. Okay.
You've never seen a Garfield Christmas?
Yo, Garfield Christmas is fucking classic, bro.
Did he have lasagna for Christmas? I need to know.
It started off with like a what's the dude's name? Is it Dave?
John
Arbuckle. had gifted him a robot that like made him everything that he wanted, but this was in his dream. And then he was just getting a bunch of lasagna because
that's what he wanted.
That made whatever he wanted.
And this is the one with the grandmother, right?
Yeah. It's the special when they end up, they go back to John's home for Christmas.
John Boy.
Spend Christmas with his family. It's a good episode. And then I always go back and watch like the California Raisins Christmas special. That's not exactly the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's like a claymation Christmas, I think.
Yeah, the claymation one, yeah, that's got the California Raisins doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in it.
Yep.
Yeah, I go back and watch that one.
These are classics. That's what's up, man. Yeah. Did you watch
Charlie Rudolph? Brown Christmas?
So you watched Rudolph, Charlie Brown, you watch Home Alone, Christmas Story.
I didn't watch Charlie Brown. They were only showing the Charlie. I mean, you probably could find it anywhere. I think they were only showing it on Amazon, I believe, because they didn't show A Great Pumpkin on network TV either. I think they only showed that on Amazon TV this year. This was the first year that they didn't air the Charlie Brown specials. Okay. And I don't really fuck with A Christmas Story like that, honestly. Like, I get so tired of it being on like constant marathon during the holidays.
All day, every day.
Yeah. They the overdo
movies
it.
The Christmas movies I watched this year, I watched Batman Returns, because that's a Christmas movie.
I heard.
And I watched Harold and Kumar Christmas.
Okay.
Those are my Christmas movies this year.
The Charlie Brown Christmas shit is special because of the music. Like, that version of Christmas Time is Here. Like, I had that shit on a loop. Just smoking a blunt, and man, just don't get no better than that. Some good old jazz.
Wow. Yeah, man, that Vince Guaraldi album is a classic. So much so that I sampled it. Me and D3, we did a album, Very Random Christmas, and we sampled all of the Charlie Brown tracks, and Christmas Time
Charlie is Brown song.
Christmas is Coming, all that's on there. so, actually, since we're live, I mean, how was everybody's Christmas? I mean, if we could just briefly, you know what I'm saying, you know, did y'all enjoy your Christmas? I know 2020 has sucked, but like, was this at least the one moment where everybody was like, all right, that wasn't bad?
I enjoyed my nephew's reaction to his presence. You know, nice. Watching, because I mean, Christmas at this point, man, it's for the kids, and seeing how excited he was, you know, with the stuff that Santa left him, and then watching him open everything and just his reactions, and you know,
yeah,
it was dope, man. He was stoked. I got him the Mandalorian costume, and I got him that 15-inch talking Mando doll.
Yeah, I saw that picture, that,
man. He looked good, man.
That made my Christmas, just watching him, the sheer excitement of him, you know, made it worthwhile. And it was cool, just, you know, it was a small number of us at my mom's house, just, you know, for dinner. And, mm-hmm. you know, usually it's, when it's non-COVID time, there's like 30 to 40 people at my mom's crib, but wow. Now there's 10, which is nice.
Yeah.
I've kind of grown to like that, you know. It's not as hectic, and it's just, it's better. So, it was good, for sure. Man.
For sure. That's what's up, man. Neo, how was your Christmas? I'm going to get back to your putovers as well, but just briefly, how was your Christmas?
I just enjoyed having days off, man. Like,
Yo.
That's really all I did because, you know, I don't really do, you know, Christmas per se. But just having days off and just chilling out at home, catching up on video games, catching up on shows, rewatching those Guilty Pleasures, really. So, I mean, just having the days off really was all that mattered for me. In fact, I actually have tomorrow off because, again, I just have all these days off that if I don't use, I lose. So, like, I didn't work Monday nor Tuesday. I worked today, but I have tomorrow, Friday, then again, Saturday, Sunday.
Nice. Word. Yeah, days off are great.
Yes, they are.
I think we're gonna just do a small thing. I think my wife's working tomorrow, but when she's off, we're gonna just watch some TV, relax. She's into Black Eyed Peas on New Year's, so that's what we're gonna have. That's supposed to be good.
Days off don't mean shit when you in a pandemic, man. When I have to work at home, get off work and be at home, and on my days off be at home. Who gives a fuck about a day off? So I know what Neo talk. I know what Neo talking about. He's like probably going stir crazy with days off.
Yeah, I mean that's true because it's like, what can you do? You're still home. I mean, for me, it's like, all right, I'll at least play a video game that I hadn't played or something. But yeah, you're still stuck in the house, so it's not much of a vacation. G1, how was your holiday?
I could sum up my Christmas in one picture.
Aww.
I was high. We was high as fuck. You don't see the look in that smoke.
Yo.
Nah, man. I'm talking about smacked off that motherfucking monogram off that hove. Yeah, but
okay.
All right. Nah, man. I was out in yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go smoke some of that. But yeah, I was out in Rolling Heights with Lori. Much love to you. Man, it was just a peaceful, you know, 3 days of just good food, good weed, nice. Good vibes. We watched Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. We watched Soul, which I didn't get a chance to get into. We watched Wonder Woman 84. It was, you know, it was just fuck that shit was good. But yeah, it was just good vibes, man. It was just really good vibes. And honestly, last couple of months of 2020, I've been my happiness. My happiest. I've been feeling like me again. So Christmas was great for me, and New Year's finna be even great. She's driving up here tomorrow, so she's gonna spend New Year's with me up here. Excited about that.
Teek, how was your holiday?
Yeah, my holiday was good. I was high as well.
Me and Teek talked a little bit.
Watched some holiday specials, ate some good food.
Nice.
Got to see my daughter. So, got her gifts and stuff. I know y'all saw her too. I know Tiff brought her by you and Rachel.
Yeah, yeah. We got her a couple things too. So that she's was so fun beautiful. Seeing her. She would
she's
just.
So beautiful, man.
She would rip open a package and then just give it to somebody, whatever it was, and then go open the next one and give it to somebody. Open the next one. Give it to somebody. So we're like, no, that's yours. It's yours. She's like, whatever.
My mom got her this this like motorized like trike, like a power wheel.
Oh wow.
That but it says it's for ages 3 and up, and, you know, she's only 1. So, like, I put her on it. She doesn't really know how to, like, push the pedal down or hold the handlebars and stuff yet. I put her foot on the pedal, and then the thing took off with her on it, and then I don't think she liked it. She cried after that, and she's like, yeah, I'm not used to stuff moving me around like that yet, so.
Yeah, I understand.
So she liked the lights and the music, but she got to get used to riding around. She ain't a rough rider yet.
Rough rider. All right, so let's get back to our putovers then. What was yours? Just every holiday cartoon movie?
Yeah, just Christmas nostalgia.
The power of nostalgia.
Can't get much more broad than that, but I'll take it. Yeah. Christmas nostalgia. I was going to put Garfield Christmas. I mean,
that's you put Garfield Christmas, man. People would know. You're the only one that don't.
I'm the only one, apparently. And I love Garfield. How did I not see this?
You know what, though? No, because you know what? I remember seeing it, like, on network TV when I was a kid. And then it was on, like, for 1 year. And never saw it again. And then I finally tracked it down on VHS, like, 8 or 9 years ago when I bought it. Because I loved it. It was just a classic. I don't think it really got a lot of airplay on regular TV after the one time
At this time and age, it's something like if you don't know, you don't know. It's something you got to pass along, you know. But I was able to I watched it on YouTube though, so you can YouTube it.
Okay, yeah. See,
there you go.
Yeah, everything's on YouTube, so
everything is on YouTube.
They got stuff on YouTube with the OG commercials from that time too.
Oh,
so
wow, that's the,
I love like, that shit. I
like that's pretty cool. Watch it, you
know?
But I was going to ask you guys real quick before you got to the next person. Did any of you guys, like, get something for Christmas? I know we all adults, so it's like we want something, we buy it usually. But did you guys get anything for Christmas that was, like, on your list or something that was, you know?
Yeah, special? See, I got to be careful. If I put something on the list, my wife or her sister will just get it, you know? So I'll be like, I got to think if it's something I really want. And there was something I wanted, and they got it. There was a pair of AirPods.
So, oh, nice.
I'm now one of those guys who walks around with AirPods in all the time. Cool thing is they're monogrammed. I don't know if you can see this.
You got your name on them?
But it says Mega Ran. Yeah. Nice.
With two that's dope. I love it.
That's pretty neat. So shout out to the wife for that. So that was the one thing that, I really wanted that I was able to nab. She got me Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers autobiography.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to reading that. I heard it was a really good story. So I had a good time, man. And that was the thing that I got. Did anybody get something really cool for Christmas that they were looking for?
I got some cool things. My brother got me a bottle of Japanese whiskey. If you never had Japanese whiskey, I highly recommend trying it.
The best.
It's way different, but it's good.
Whiskey. I love Japanese whiskey, bro.
Yeah, it's good. Yes. And then he got me a bottle of Screwball, the peanut butter joint.
It's funny. You just talking about that shit at work. And I'm like,
speaking of,
put me onto that in the group chat.
Speaking of, I grabbed some beers earlier today with Cap because I wanted to get some beer for tomorrow. And the girl that was serving at front porch, we were talking about Screwball. Yeah, shut up, Neil. You go there all the time without us. she heard us talking about Screwball, and she said to throw some Screwball in hot chocolate. And I'm like, ooh.
Ooh.
That's a game changer.
Right? I made that same face.
I put some, I was fortunate enough on Christmas to have some Coquito, and I put some of in my coffee. And whoo. That blew my mind and some coffee.
Coquito's a shit, bro.
Yes, it is. I think it's the first time I'd had it, but it was so good.
I haven't had Screwball since my birthday.
Oh, well, that was
damn.
That was like a year ago.
I had it, yeah.
Dang. Yeah, we got to get everybody back on the Screwball train because that stuff is good. All right, let's get through these putovers. Rock, what you got for us?
Yeah, I'm actually going to put over a new project from Marquel Del Juan. He is a local act. He comes from legendary lineage. He is I-Rock, who I consider to be the governor of Arizona hip hop. He is the OG of OGs. Mm-hmm. His son is really dope. I've been a fan since the first time I heard him doing like one, you know, little one-offs. He did a lot of music on the System soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And just released an EP on Monday called Nothing is Permanent. Okay. It's seven joints. It's fucking dope, man. Like, Duke can rap his ass off. You know,
it's on all the streaming services and all that.
Yeah, it's on all the streaming services. Nice. I bought it. It was like $7 on iTunes. I just bought it. Production's dope. His bars are dope. He's got Deli on there. Deli Every Day, if y'all are familiar with Mr. Deli, salute.
Yep.
It's just dope, man. He's just got a really dope voice and a real dope flow, and he's got bars, man. He can rap, and that's all that I really care about. Like, if you can rap, I'm gonna fuck with you.
Yeah,
and he's dope. He raps. He can rap. Like, not just rap. He can rap.
Rap.
So, twice. Dude's nice. Dude is nice.
Yes, indeed. He's
very dope. Is real nice. So if you can check that out, it is on all your streaming services. And yeah, man, quality. I mean, considering where, you know, who his pops is and the circles he runs in, like, no surprise it sound as crisp as it does. It's dope, man. It's really dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on Bootleg Kev's label.
Yeah, it is on Ready Set Records.
Yeah, he's being mm-hmm. By Kev.
I ain't know Bootleg Kev had a label.
I saw him on when Kev did his cipher. Mm-hmm. He killed that shit. The other dude that surprised me, who I never really heard before, was it Merkums?
Yeah.
Merkums. That dude can rap.
Yeah, he's dope too.
That dude can rap too. That dude can really rap.
Only by reputation. Somebody else just talked about him not that long ago. Yeah.
So yeah, check out Marquell, man. He is a very talented musician, artist, whatever you want to call him, MC. He's dope, man. Check him out.
For sure. We did a on the Emerald Knights 2, we did a remix of Worldwide, a track on there, and he's on that, and he, like, murders it.
That's dude?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, hell yeah, he's dope.
That's dude.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's dude.
My inner hometown came.
That's dude. So, yeah, man. Who's next? We still need Neo's put over.
Oh, yeah.
What'll it be, yo?
So, you know, I can openly say that I've been drinking a lot this past 2 weeks.
What? Who would have known?
What? You know,
that's my deal.
I had a bunch of days off, dog. So, yeah. Okay. So I actually my job gave me a Total Wine gift card, so I bought a bottle of the Terramana tequila.
Ooh, that Terramana is on point. Fucking
is it good?
I'm cutting it with a little lemonade right now. Still tastes pretty good.
Ooh, I had it. Somebody sent one of my longtime friends that sent me a bottle for my birthday earlier this year. And me and my homie Josh, shout out to Josh, we took that down shot by shot. Mm-hmm. I was drinking that shit straight up with a little bit of seltzer water, just to give it a little, man. I was bougie as hell with this shit. So good, though.
Yeah, so I've been trying out different things, buying different beers, but in that time that I would, swim in that pool full of liquor, I would listen to some Spanish music. Specifically, the artist's name is Nathaniel Cano.
And
not yet. But Nathaniel Cano, and now, don't worry, Ryan, I'll post the notes in the write-up.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely do that. Thank you.
Yeah. So there's this genre of music called corridos tumbados. That means it's essentially, think about your traditional, like, Mexican style music, but with very deep bass and trap sounds. So it kind of takes the traditional Mexican music and flips it on its gangster side. And I really appreciate it. And it's just really good drinking music, especially if you know the words. So I'll put it over. I'll put a little diversity in this bunch, this little Latino twist, if you will.
A little flavor.
I'm going to put over, if you ever get a chance and you know Spanish, there's Selena's. Appreciate that. Thank you, G1. That was actually my last put over, the Selena series. But yeah, if you ever get a chance, check them out. If you like Spanish, you know, traditional music, but you know, you want to get a twist to it, It's called Corridos Tumbados. I can really appreciate that right now. So I just been playing that when I've been drinking these past 2 weeks. So that's my jam right there.
You know what? I fuck with on the Latin side. I fuck with Anita. She's nice. I like the single Papato. That shit hard. I like that joint.
Nice. I've never heard of that one, but I'll give it a listen.
That's a banger, Papato by Anita. It's Anita and two other guys who was rapping their ass off. Mind you, I didn't understand the lick of what they were saying, but the flow was so crazy. I was like, fuck it.
And sometimes just by like listening to the pitch, the swag, the cadence, you can kind of get a sense of, you know, what's going on, right?
Yeah, like I know it was some sexual shit. Like she's twerking and shit on the video. She got a pussy all on dude's neck. I know what's up. Like, she's bad. She's nice.
Okay.
Oh,
she don't play
fair. Pussy on the neck.
Pussy on the neck. Is that the name of the episode? Yeah. No, we ain't gonna do that.
Good old neck pussy.
Neck.
It's white feet. What's up, Rachel?
Hey, they said what's up. She brought me a little pizza. Happy New Year. Says Happy New Year.
You're gonna get sauce all over the keyboard.
I know. Without any further ado, I want to talk wrestling. We can save the sad stuff for later. I mainly want to recap the year that was in wrestling. It's been a really, really crazy year. You know what I mean? I can remember, and Teak, whenever he shows up, can attest that we started off the year Houston at the Royal Rumble, like, you know, and I think that was kind of the beginning of 2020 going the way of the dogs, because Kobe died that same weekend.
That was ground zero for what 2020 ended up being, man, while we were out there. Because I still say, like, when we were out there, that was when Kobe died in a helicopter crash, RIP, because that was right before Royal Rumble when we saw that on the news. And while we were out there with your homie, was the first time that I had ever talked or was watching videos about COVID. And I remember us talking, like, laughing and joking about it. That's not gonna, you know, that's gonna be, you know, making jokes about Resident Evil or Walking Dead and stuff like that. Like, you know, oh, it's gonna be some sort of biological blah blah blah. And now look at us, damn near the whole year.
Right, like nobody would have thought in January that we were going to be completely locked down for the whole year.
No, not when Edge came back.
Right.
I was like, man, Edge came back. I seen Goldberg for the first time at SmackDown with one of my best friends. Like, nah, hell no. Nah. You ain't never finna tell me that we just finna be fucked up, stuck in the house all 2020. Shit came from left field like a nasty Tyson punch. It was so bad.
Man. Yeah, so I saw an article at the Sportster that I want to talk to you guys about, the 10 best gimmicks and worst of 2020, and I want to get a quick opinion, agree or no. All right, I'm gonna pick each one of y'all to do this one. Okay, Rock.
Yeah,
number 10 best gimmick on here was Bayley. Agree or disagree?
I think she should be higher up, but yes, I agree.
I do too. I think Bayley did a huge 180 this year and like killed it. I can still remember her. Maybe it was after Mania in the empty building, like just jumping around and like, what did she do? Yeah. She would always like tease Corey Graves and all that. Like she would hear his commentary. Like Bayley took this whole pandemic thing and took it to another level. So yes, I would say she's arguably best heel of WWE of the year. I mean, Roman came in late, but you know, Bayley really, really did it. All right, so you agree, but should be higher. All right, Neo, the Sportster says one of the worst gimmicks was a guy we saw tonight.
Attribution?
Eric Rowan, when he was walking around
with his tarantula,
a giant spider in his back, in the cage. Yeah.
That was really bad. That was really bad because the payoff was like shit. Like it was just such shit. And it was just, it felt almost comedic. Like I felt like it insulted my intelligence as a wrestling fan, you know, super big fedora and everything.
Schmarky.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, like Vince thinks that's popping in the streets, spiders in the cage, like
that was weird.
Right, but the reason that it was real bad though was that somebody wrote that for him, and then after that he got Future Endeavored.
He got Future Endeavored. But hey, shout outs to him. He played a big retribution role tonight's show, man. So
right, but I guess he couldn't get gimmick over. So
yeah, I mean, you're right about that. When they give you a terrible gimmick and then they fire you a few months later, it's like, come on, whose fault was this? But like, you always hear those stories about people making the most of what they're giving.
Right, you couldn't get it hot. You wasn't able to get that gimmick over.
Jericho, I mean, say what we want about him, Jericho would have got that gimmick over. A spider. I think he'd get anything over.
Yeah, no, that's facts.
You know what I'm saying? Jericho got a list over, a list for many years.
Got a scarf over.
A scarf.
He couldn't get Trump over.
Good one.
Well, I mean, Trump ain't left yet, though, so we don't know that yet.
Trump don't want to leave.
They're still trying. Okay. G1, an argument for best gimmick is MJF here. Agree or not?
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. MJF is one of the best assholes in wrestling. Point blank. I mean, it was even evident tonight. Like, we'll get into it, but damn, like, how big of an asshole can you be?
Right.
Like, I fucking love
like MJF. To go full heel tonight, like, only he could have done it.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
And he lives the gimmick, man.
I'm talking about
That's what's going to make a great heel is to be a heel when you shouldn't be. When everybody else is like, oh, nah, man, I don't want to do that. It's like, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Give me the ball, coach.
Like, I'm going in. Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Right. Agreed on that. Rock, we got a worst gimmick vote for Retribution. Agree
that not? Might be the worst gimmick in the history of the WWE. Like, I still cringe when they come
100%
out. I agree. I don't understand how they're wasting a talent like Dominik Dijakovic. They're wasting Mia Yim. I don't get it, man.
I saw a photo earlier today that had Bobby Lashley spanking Mia Yim in Impact. I don't know what it's in regards to. They were in the middle of the ring, and she was over his knee getting spanked.
Oh, God.
And that was probably a better gimmick than Retribution.
Damn!
Wow. You know, I don't think I see it in here, but I think it should be. One of the worst things was that the whole Lana, like, Rusev, Lashley storyline, which was pretty terrible.
Oh, with the sex in the sex?
Oh, yeah. We were at the Raw season premiere the day that they debuted that whole shit.
I don't know. It kind of worked out pretty well for Rusev because he got the boot and then got the battery on his back and got recharged.
I mean, yeah, Lana's always had some bad stories.
And Lana just got tabled.
Her getting put through the table, exactly. That's
well, I'd say that now Lashley has moved into what I could call one of the best gimmicks. Agree or disagree, Neo? The Hurt Business.
Hurt Business.
Oh, man. Fantastic. Fantastic gimmick. The unity between all of them to, you know, essentially take a concept and really just run with it. Phenomenal. I'm surprised you're not wearing the shirt today, bro.
I would normally be. But it's in the wash. Yeah, they did a huge thing. Big shouts to MVP for what he's done with those guys. Another one up here for best gimmick, G1, agree or disagree, the Street Profits.
Oh, yeah. We always want the smoke. Them the guys, man. They're just I know y'all gonna clown me for this, and I'm ready for the smoke in this case, but I just recently found out that Montez Ford is originally from Chicago.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
Mark-ass Mark.
So, everyone is going to buy a Street Profit tracksuit.
I was going to buy a Street Profit tracksuit before I found that out. Them guys is lit, man. And they just
Profit tracksuit on with some Pumas.
Look, yes. I like when, you know, they just let dudes be dudes regardless if they black and don't try to like over ghetto a motherfucker. I hate when wrestling did that shit for so long. And the Street Profits is genuine. I feel like they just dudes that really act like that. And they just always lit, always turned up. That Montez is something else. If he ever goes solo, gonna fuck some shit up.
Oh, he's a star. No question.
I'll tell you what, yeah, Montez is the star of that. And I feel like he has to do like 5 times more to get to just kind of keep the team relevant. In my opinion, he screams a lot, and I don't know, it's just me, but he has a monster frog splash that I think he should be the only person doing a frog splash like on Raw. Move or SmackDown.
You better keep frog splashing them out the building or else that tag team is going to go to Route of Heavy Machinery. And speaking of them, I do want to say that I don't know if this is on your list over there, Ran, but everything going on with the Money in the Bank since that match has been trashed. And I do not like what they just did with it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that either.
That's true.
Money in the Bank means nothing now, which is
keep in mind that Montez Ford also has the benefit of frog splashing Bianca Belair on a regular basis. Lord.
There's also that.
No, there's that. Okay, so a vote for worst gimmick was given to Akira Tozawa.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Wait, is that the Back of the Future guy?
No,
that's Kushida.
Ninja guy.
This is the ninja who got the team of ninjas.
Oh,
this is
like,
terrible.
Like Kai or whatever they were called back in the day.
Right. It's like, it's 2020. Why are we still doing
24/7 title is trash. All of that stuff for 2020, man. That they need to revamp it or get rid of it.
Well, the title has gotten R-Truth over to a whole nother level. And again, it's what you make of the trash you're given.
Exactly.
R-Truth can get anything over, though, but
everybody
chasing him around is stupid.
R-Truth is different, man.
The best moment of R-Truth's career is when he was just photobombing the Truth Business's photo.
Oh, the Hurt Business?
Her.
Oh, yeah.
He photobombed. Yeah.
That was pretty great.
But man, I call them the Truth Business because Truth.
Now they're the Truth Business. I like that.
Best thing with R-Truth was when he found out that he had to, when he thought he was going to be fighting Paul Heyman and he had to fight Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, man.
That was good.
And I mean, just the whole long ass name to the 24/7 title. Mm-hmm. 24/7, 365,
some other
shit. 7-Eleven,
95 South.
Right.
When your childhood hero is John Cena, you can do no wrong. Like,
I mean, the names that he gives people, you call Ricochet Rick O'Shea and call Cedric Alexander Cedric the Entertainer.
Rick O'Shea.
Yo.
Rick O'Shea sounds like an 80s.
What
like
you do with the R&B gimmick, star. Man? Cedric the Entertainer.
80s pop star.
Right, Rick O'Shea is
Rick O'Shea.
Right.
And a vote for best gimmick, number one best gimmick on this list. And Teak, let's see if you agree.
He's nuts.
Roman Reigns.
Yes, I'm all behind Roman Reigns right now. I'm glad that you asked me about that because when I first started getting back into wrestling, it was when Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt was feuding. And I liked Bray Wyatt, and I didn't like Roman Reigns at that time. I thought he was generic. I felt like the WWE was putting a rocket on his back, and he wasn't ready for it. You know, just a lot of that stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he left with the cancer scare and came back, I thought that was great, you know. But what he's doing now, is what I wanted to see, which was Roman Reigns go heel. And we got like that little taste of it. Remember, what was it? Was it after WrestleMania when he just stood in the ring and got booed?
Mm-hmm. It was like, it's my yard now.
Yeah. My yard, bitch.
They just booed him for like 5 minutes.
So I thought like that was great.
You knew he could get the heat. And
it's just, would they embrace it? Like, that was always the question. Would they ever just embrace the booze and do something with him? And they did, finally.
And they're saying that he's got, a lot of input on his character right now, which is good. It seems like when you let these guys who know what they're doing, you know, like the New Day and stuff like that, kind of run with their character, what they can do with it. So definitely a great gimmick right now. I'm loving the head of the table gimmick. You know, we probably won't ever see John Cena do a full heel turn. I'm glad we got to see Roman Reigns do one. Cause I, you know, it's like the Hogan shit, you know, forgive me for bringing him up, but it's just like when you are a face for so long and you can pull off the heel turn that nobody thought would ever come. Mm-hmm. You know,
it works, yeah. And then they have a runner-up for best gimmick of the year, which I think is very fitting. So I'm going to ask Neo to comment on number two best gimmick, Mr. Brody Lee.
Oh yeah, I mean 100%. I really have to give it up to Mr. Brody Lee, because Brody Lee took essentially the stink, for lack of a better word, and just completely wash it off when he came to AEW.
The stink. Explain this. The stink. Man,
yeah. Not a lot of people.
The stench of jobberdom.
I mean, that's actually a really good way to put it, because what was his claim to fame in the WWE? Intercontinental title holder and just a championship specialist. He was never a main eventer.
He was a tag team champ as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I said.
He was the muscle, the muscle, the big guy.
But I'm saying, like, that's all he was, quote unquote, he was put in that box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he became a pay-per-view main eventer, title holder on AEW.
He did.
Before knowing that he had a lung issue. So there was no pity involved. There was no motivation other than, you know, accepting pure talent. And it was just a complete 180, because in WWE, did he ever speak?
No.
No.
I don't think he ever said a word.
But in AEW, he was very eloquent. He got his point across. He was entertaining. He was very, hey, I think he was frightening. I think
they had some stuff with the Bludgeon Brothers.
He just said, we will bludgeon, or the bludgeoning is coming.
I think he grunted.
That was it. Bludgeon. That was it. And that's why I'm saying, like, Mr. Brody Lee on AEW was, it's selfish to say that it was taken away from us too quickly to see its full potential. You know, and I just want to say, yeah, the Mr. Brody Lee lifestyle in AEW, mm-hmm. Yeah, chef's kiss. Especially if you watched BTE.
Yes.
And you see how he got throwing papers at people over? throwing papers at people.
Dude, I couldn't stop laughing on the last BTE. They just did a big cut, super cut of him just throwing papers. And it was just incredible.
Yo, didn't Silver and Reynolds just do that in the middle of the
they
ring?
Did in the match.
That they just threw was paper. Great.
Yeah, so did like, Cowboy. Cowboy.
How do you get paper over? I was wondering why he was holding his vest close.
Yeah.
Jericho of him, man, where you could just take simple, insignificant shit and get it put over in a wrestling crowd. Like, that's
and that was the Jericho jacket collection. That he said that Brody Lee bought him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Huh.
So he was wearing that.
And, okay, so then the absolute worst gimmick of 2020.
How is it not retribution?
I don't know how it was the retribution, because I guess, yeah, it should have been to me, because especially with the level of hype, these guys had no hype, but they had a lot of steam before them and have become a comedy act. So Rock Knowledge, the worst according to Sportster is the Viking Raiders. Well, what oh, say man. You? Now you watched them in NXT. Did you watch these guys in NXT?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I thought they were better in NXT, but that seems to be the norm. When the NXT guys get brought up to the main roster, they kind of lose some of their impact, if you want to call it that. They're not as stiff. They're not working as hard. It's a different style of wrestling. I wouldn't say they're the worst because, like I said, and we discussed earlier, I think they were put in better positions than the damn Retribution was.
Even when they're in Japan, they were just way better. You know, it's just
about
a fumble.
So Viking Raiders lost the title in January to Street Profits, and I honestly don't remember anything they did since then.
I went back and watched the NXT Takeover when they were here in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And they were on that card, and their entrance was like so crazy. They had like all the guys out with the shields and the spears. They had a big.
I do remember that shit.
And I'm like, that I was shit like, was wow, crazy, bro. NXT was hype for these dudes, and they got brought up.
Yeah. And
remember, the first thing was they screwed their name up. It was that name fumble.
Oh yeah, the name fumble. Viking Experience, Viking Ride. I don't know.
Did you say Viking Ride?
Yeah, the bizarre ride to the Viking side.
I thought they were the War Raiders. So yeah, they had like three different names.
War Raiders is hard. That's a hard name. It's
such a good name. They didn't want to let them keep that name.
But another tag team that might not get mentioned. And I just watched this video package about like all the WWE guys who got released. And I didn't even know Authors of Pain got released until I saw this video.
Wow.
Those guys
like, we didn't even notice.
I knew they were gone for a long time. I thought it was due to injuries, but I'm just saying these are some more guys that were like big in NXT, came up, looked like they had like all the push, everything necessary. And then what happened? It was when they took their mouthpiece away, their manager, right? That's what screwed them up.
Ellering.
Yeah. Once Ellering, but he didn't want to come up with them. And
he didn't want to be on the road.
And I get it. And they were with Seth Rollins. Like, I thought that was, you know, the beginning of something right, big.
Then homie got hurt, though. One of them kept getting hurt. They were
plagued with injuries.
Yeah.
They were plagued with injuries when they got with Seth, so they didn't get to capitalize on that.
That's crazy how some teams, one guy can get hurt, the other guy can go shine. With other teams, one guy gets hurt, the other guy is off TV for a year. Like, kind of sucks.
Like, what was his tag team partner going to do without him? They were like twins.
Luke and Eric do without each other? You know what I'm saying? Like, they showed up.
Nothing really.
But they at least got a chance on TV.
Hey, Captain Caveman said Vikings the ride.
Well, if they really did it the right way, however, they could have put one half of that team just behind the Seth Rollins machine. But I feel like that entire gimmick, if you will, or phase also fizzled out rather quickly.
Well, but he needed both of them because they were trying to play off of the J&J stuff. I think that's what they were trying to do with those guys.
Like two people who look alike.
But they could have kept one of them. I mean,
they could have gave one of them a shot. Like one guy never even got a chance to show up without the other one.
So hey, Rock and Neo, what do y'all think of this guy got released too? Cain Velasquez.
When did he get released?
What a waste.
Wow.
That a long time ago?
You're like, when did he get released? Yeah, like that guy.
No.
They brought him up to get beat up by Brock in his UFC rematch, and then they let him go.
That shit was trash anyway.
What a waste. Like, the dude can actually go. Like, he can – like, mind you, he can go as probably good as any, like, you know, beginner wrestler. But he could go, and he had name power. He had stroke. He had appeal. And, you know, he was he was also a person that could also help represent the community, you know, outside of – WWE, you know, he had cross appeal.
Yeah, the crossover potential,
and they fizzled it out.
Training for it too.
I don't think and he was training, he was really working hard, but he just wasn't getting it. And without them being able to travel to do the Saudi shows or whatever, then you probably don't need him.
He was his
work with Brock wasn't that good either, though.
No.
And he got injured too, because remember he came out on crutches one time, I think during the Rey Mysterio feud, right?
So, did he?
They got
I don't recall.
part-time Wait. Injury.
Neo, did you just say that he got stroke?
What?
Okay.
Yeah, he got stroke.
He was wondering where your pause was, Neo.
All right, so I got a couple of top stories of the year that I thought were, you know, decent. Yeah. I'm going to pick one that I think was, like, one of my favorite things of 2020. And, I mean, we already talked about it a little bit, but I think the rise of Roman Reigns is definitely, you know, as the tribal chief and the big dog, like, transitioning, I think was one of my favorite things of 2020.
Went from his yard to his island.
Yeah, his yard to his island. But I want to give one, and I talked about this a little earlier on Clubhouse, and this is something that I think is so crucial.
Oh, you're on Clubhouse?
Yeah,
I'm on
the chatty house.
You want to invite?
I'm going to check. I think I could. G1's on there, too. Yeah, I got you.
I'm trying to start a wrestling room.
There's no wrestling rooms. Everybody is in there like, here's how to build your brand.
Let's get a Matt Mania wrestling room in there.
Yeah, so I did one today, and Josiah Williams, Wrestling Phil, popped up. So
let's go.
He came in. We started talking a little bit, and I talked about, and Alexis Littlefoot came in too. So shout out to her. And we started talking about one thing that we don't realize, and to me, I think a biggest moment that changed the game in wrestling for 2020 is the Thunderdome. Honestly, yeah. I think WWE stepping up the production, because we've been waiting for them to do that. Like, to go from these boring, empty arena shows that was happening in March, like after Mania or even during Mania. Like, look how bad Mania looks if you look back at it now.
Yeah.
Like, the ceiling fan in the middle of the thing. Like, it just was not a good look.
The lights. It's just the lights. The lights that blind everybody.
Yeah.
They were able to roll with that and make it work for them, because wrestling was on the verge of dying at that point.
It was. I remember watching, and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to see this. And, like, they took it and decided to finally put some money in and really, like, innovate. And now they're at a level production-wise that no other show can deal with or can hang with, you know? And that's really what I think was about. Like, we were like, oh, give us more cinematic matches. You got all these Hollywood people back there. But I think what they really did and was great, and I think preserved and saved wrestling a little bit, is the Thunderdome. So I will give them major props for that. Any thoughts?
Yeah.
No, it was dope. They had to do something to get some fan interaction. And they've also upgraded now, because they were at the Amway Center, but they've transitioned to Tropicana Field, where the Devil Rays used to play. Mm-hmm. So it's a bigger stage now, I think they have more screens too, it looked like. Curious to see what they're going to do come Rumble, come Mania time, because it's still not a definite they're going to be able to hold Mania with people.
Right.
No, probably not.
But I mean, I don't know what they're doing with the sound design and stuff now, but when I watch TLC, I mean, they seem to have they're pumping the audio in, the sound effects in now and stuff. So it's like they got the chants, or they're having the people on the videos chant in the Thunderdome. So I mean, it's as best as we're gonna get to how things were, because when that shit was quiet and you could hear them talking to each other in the ring and
they're calling spots, and it's like, oh, we don't need to hear this.
Yeah.
So
that's another shout out to Bayley and Sasha Banks though, because they were holding it down.
They made the most of it
in the empty, quiet arenas, trying to make it entertaining.
Exactly. I give them major props for that. But yeah, like, and remember Stone Cold came out and did the what, and nobody was there and all that
stuff. Yeah. Like all of this cringeworthy, embarrassing stuff that they were trying to like figure out to do.
Yeah, it was pretty rough, man.
They made it.
So anybody else, if you could think of a moment that you thought was a really big, big thing, Neo. We talked about Edge coming back, the rise of Drew. We talked about Hurt Business, Kenny Omega, Mox. You know, there's a lot. So is there any particular thing that stood out to you as a highlight of 2020 in wrestling?
Yeah, I'll say, for a company like New Japan to also kind of break the production, you know, between, you know, California and, you know, in Japan. You know, they did Lions Break, they did Best of the Super Juniors, they did, you know, their stay at home projects. I mean, in Japan, they're the ones really doing it the right way, you know, and they haven't had any other COVID cases. They're doing live events with limited seating. They have people in the crowds who are very respectful and very, you know, cognizant to the rules. So Japan's putting it down. And then if you've seen any of the buildup towards Wrestle Kingdom, which is right around the corner, I am hoping Captain Caveman will resurrect the BLT club for Wrestle Kingdom. that way we can stay up and eat bacon lettuce or BLTs and watch Wrestle Kingdom.
Hey, I'll be down for that.
BLT stands for bacon, lettuce, and tomato. You sound like you were fumbling there.
I've been drinking a lot of tequila.
Well, shout out to Cap Caveman, who's also in the chat.
Yeah.
BLTs and New Japan, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think the way Cap describes me, BLT is kind of just like a somewhat pseudo acronym for Bullet Club, BLT Bullet. So, you know, things like that.
Very clever.
What the other thing also is
BLT Club. for
life. Shout outs to Mexico too. AAA has been doing drive-in shows for all their wrestling as well. So drive-in shows, and I remember Teak and I had a conversation about drive-in shows would work, and it's working in Mexico. So shout outs to all the wrestling companies thriving. But I think the biggest story in my opinion is still Kenny Omega, the belt collector, the cross promoter, the cross brand appeal. He's the Triple A Mega Campeón. He's the AEW World Champion. He's probably going to be the Impact Champion pretty soon. Who knows? But
what you think? He'll be the great Rich Swann?
Oh, I'm sure he will. So
I mean, I like Swann, but yeah, that would be something to see.
It's going to be another one.
I want it. I think when you kind of, you know,
one wing of Swann.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop looking at me, Swann.
One wing.
One winged Swann.
I like it.
Quit looking at me, Swann.
So yeah, man. I just think Kenny Omega is the best thing right now.
Kenny,
and I think Super Pompous Will Ospreay in Japan is super fun. Also,
sir,
I'm all for it, man. So just keep bringing it on.
I'm so looking forward to Ospreay and Okada. I think that's gonna tear it down.
That's gonna be a good match.
Yes, that is gonna be fire. So speaking of good matches, I got a list here and I want to bring it to the chat too and see what everybody thinks. We know every episode we wind up mentioning Uncle Dave somewhere.
Love this.
And here are Uncle Dave's top rated matches of 2020.
This shit's more biased than me.
AEW, baby.
What good bias is it? Now, I just want you to guess how far you got to go down to get the first WWE match.
Damn.
Not NXT.
Damn.
But WWE match. Before
how many in the 20s?
Just how many guess. Are there?
Damn.
There are...
Let me hit Alt-F and hit WWE.
Yeah.
That's why I don't take Uncle Dave serious.
There's like 45 matches on here. So
45? I'll say 25 down.
And it's not even a 5-star.
No, they never get a 5-star.
Damn.
The first WWE match is... And it was actually a fire match.
It was really good.
It was Roman versus Drew McIntyre at Survivor Series. That was a great match.
I don't even remember that.
I know Roman did the nut shot, the nut punch, right, to win. I don't know.
How far down was it?
I don't feel like counting this. It's like halfway down the page, though.
I thought it was. But I thought they were numbered.
Above that, they had on December 20th, there was a 4.5 star match between Roman and Kevin Owens at TLC December 20th.
Oh, okay.
That was a good match.
You're right.
That was really good one.
Kevin Owens, man, that the stuff he has put himself through to get some get over or get people mm-hmm. over or to get people into a match is insane. He's like the new Mick Foley almost.
I feel like me and Kevin Owens have never been on the same page since he started doing the stunner. I'm still against him doing the stunner.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Papa Powerbomb is dope, man.
I don't like the way he looks doing the stunner. It just came out of nowhere of him doing it.
He wanted to do something he could do to anybody.
I know.
You know, he can't pop up, you know, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, nah, hell no.
But
he can frog splash. He could
definitely frog splash.
He has a great frog splash for a big dude.
He does.
Yeah, amazing.
So the top match of the year. Let's just see if y'all agree or if you even remember it. According to Uncle Dave, it was a 6-star AEW Revolution, which I don't think I saw that pay per view.
Would it be the Young Bucks?
Kenny and Paige versus the Young Bucks.
Knew it.
Yeah.
I remember that match, but I don't know if I'm going to have number one.
Yeah, I don't recall really, but I know that 5.75, I actually agree. It's Okada versus Ibushi, Wrestle Kingdom Day One. Yeah. That was a flame match.
Was that Kenny Omega? That Kenny Omega Young Bucks match that you were just talking about, is that?
No, that's further down the list.
What, when they lost the titles?
Yeah, that match was, I think it was just a 5-star.
But yeah, it's on there.
So this match is the early on match. Is this the one where they were like going real hard on each other?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right, Teak. I'm sorry. I misspoke. You're right.
No, it is that one. Yeah.
Yeah, it is that one. I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's the one that's the reason that Kenny went heel when they lost those belts, right?
Right. Right. Okay. So I think a lot that goes into Dave's stuff is the storyline that it created. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to shoot him any bail, but
you are, my friend.
I guess I kind of am, because I'm like, what is your criteria? Like, it has to be like, all right.
He knows matches. He just knows matches.
Yeah.
With the bias of biases, though.
Right. How do you explain that WWE hasn't had a 5-star match like ever?
They're not good.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Cool, boy.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
WWE honestly hardly ever has any just straight up clean finishes or not 50-50 booking. So that hurts a lot of their matches. That most of them are roll up, interference, DQs, like, and nobody gets propelled because they always 50-50 it. Nobody ever. Yeah.
Okay. You and I, we both watch the WWE What Culture, right? And we watch the ups and downs.
Yeah, my man Simon. Uh-huh.
He started a roll-up counter in like March when the pandemic happened or some shit like that. They made over 100 roll-up finishes in the WWE in combination of Raw and SmackDown. Over 100 roll-up finishes.
100? Wow. That's a lot.
And that's not even counting all the schmoz finishes as well that WWE is most notorious for.
Right.
So, fuck Dave and his bias.
Gotta agree with that, man. I agree.
I mean, he gives NXT a lot of love, though. And what's the top NXT match he has? There's a couple. The Walter and Dragunov, which I've never seen.
Oh, my God. That shit.
From the UK taping, 116.
Wee.
I need to see that.
Which one?
Walter versus Dragunov.
Yeah, Dragunov.
I don't remember that one. NXT UK. It was just a regular episode.
I do. I remember that one very well.
One thing they
like, how do you here, not give like Keith Lee and Dijakovic any a look?
Oh yeah, they best
them two.
You know what? That's a good point. NXT
good ratings though.
Because if this was 5 years ago and it was Keith Lee and Dijakovic, it would have been on the top of this thing because they were at PWG. So that's a really good point, Rock. You made a good case here.
The quality of matches that they're having on WWE pales in comparison to the quality of matches that they were having at PWG. Ask Cap Caveman.
You don't think they were going out there like, let's have the same
Mio's spots. Just let's here to like just shit on anything that's not New Japan or AEW.
No,
and
that's
I'm
not
here
even,
to shit on everything
point.
That's not WWE.
So we got
and, balance. And you can't even make a valid case for WWE.
It's hard to make a good case.
They just did.
They have great matches, but maybe they're not, you know, 6-star matches. But come on, there's been some good matches. These pay-per-views, the last two pay-per-views, they've been delivering.
What you're saying is that they have great matches for their brand, but when you compare them to wrestling in the scope of all wrestling, then they fall short.
Okay.
And we discuss that all the time in the chat. Wait, like, why are we watching?
Let me ask you this, Ryan.
Why are we watching?
Is Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly on that list?
Yes. And that was one of my favorite matches of the year.
Yeah. Okay. So he's not totally full of shit.
It's 4.5.
He gives
NXT love, but WWE never. It's like he thinks he's getting over by not making it Vince's brand. But you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it's weird to me. The same two people could wrestle, but if they wrestle in front of NXT, it'll be a promotion.
But it's like the demotion going down, going up there.
It's like the demotion. I'll give you that.
We know that NXT is the more wrestling based show. Definitely. All right, so there's two matches on here that really stand out to me, and I just want to talk about them.
What are they, bro?
Because we talked so much about how he wants a certain whatever he wants. I don't know his criteria, but this breaks his criteria that he gave Chuck and Trent versus Ortiz and Santana. Ooh, the parking lot brawl.
That match was.
And that match was phenomenal. It was fire. But there's no wrestling.
It was innovative, but it was innovative.
It was a lot of innovation, but there was no wrestling. There was no strategy. It was just, let's do a bunch of moves and hurt each other.
I mean, the same argument could be made at the list here. There was a, where is it? It's a AAA. There was a hair versus hair match that was bloody as fuck. Where is it on the list? Yeah, AAA. No, that's not it. Hold on. Let me find it.
Hey. All I can say is the ladies match at Triple Mania this year. I want to know who the chick is in the Sub-Zero suit. She was thick as hell.
So there was like a 4.5 star match with Pagano and Chessman, hair versus hair. That was also like just a bloody affair. But it got up there. Yeah. You know?
I mean, the psychology is one thing, you know, and I'm sure that plays into this. Like, how much of a feud is it? How much of a buildup? That might be his X factor in his thing, because WWE has no buildup. No long-standing feud.
But that lot brawl was the first I've ever seen. I've never seen someone get slammed into an engine block. I've never seen anyone get pile-driven through a table, through a bed truck.
Just why?
You know, I mean, it was crazy. I've never seen the hood of a car get slammed on somebody. Like, it was the orange punch chain or fist, you know. I mean, it was good.
If that's the
good
case, Neo, then it sounds like you weren't watching any early Joey Janela matches.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Like the GCW network, like you did a lot of that. Is not on the radar right now.
All right. So they managed, it's like they just saved a lot of these WWE matches for the 4-star thing. Drew versus Randy ambulance match got 4. Ray versus Seth, no holds barred, got 4. Drew versus Randy Orton, no disqualification on Raw, got 1. And just recently, I believe, this just happened, Rey Mysterio, Big E, Daniel Bryan against Dolph, Shinsuke, and Sami Zayn got a 4-star, which I think was a pretty good match. I remember that.
Okay.
It was almost like he was reaching, like, all right, let's just sprinkle a few in. Oh, okay, that happened. Just like sprinkle a little WWE, just so they don't say I'm biased. the only build-up, Smug was a good point, only build-up WWE had this year was Sasha and Bayley.
Yeah, that was great. You're right. That whole dynamic was great.
That's long-term storytelling. That's years in the making right there.
That was great. True.
And then they had to pull the plug. I mean, they had to push the button on that with no fans.
Yeah, I'm sure they were thinking a lot of those moments they didn't want to have. Yeah, like, I'm sure they were trying to save that for fans, but they're like, nobody knows when we're going to get fans. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And now Sasha's running it. Like, they put Sasha in her, like, I think, rightful spot. Like, she's
Sasha is special.
I also want to give a quick shout out real quick to all of our brothers wearing the gold right now in WWE.
Facts. This is one of the most diverse, you know, as far as like representation wise champion lineup in a minute. So that's always good to see. I hope that they're not, you know, going to take them all away right before Black History Month. But
we'll see. I was going to say, not since that Black History Month photo where it was Swan as the cruiserweight champion.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks had the women's title and the New Day had the tag titles. You know?
Yeah.
Have we had this much gold? You know, you got the Hurt Business with the tag titles, Bobby Lashley with the United States, and then Big E with the Intercontinental right now. Oh, and we got what's his name? Still got the 24/7 title, right?
Truth. Yeah.
Truth.
I like they gave Big E got his old entrance back with the LeBron James powder and shit. I like the
powder, yeah.
Yeah.
And Wale on the theme song, that's pretty dope.
What?
Yeah, Wale has the new theme song. Wow. I haven't like heard it, but they just play it at the arenas. But
yeah, D1 fuck you.
Right.
You over there all shocked, like what? That yeah.
He did. Yeah, while you was hanging out, getting cozy, people was making theme songs.
Stuff was making theme songs too. Somebody has a great.
We're not talking about the theme song that you hum when you on the way to the bedroom. Okay.
Which one is that? Stone Cold.
Do you throw powder up when you heading to the bedroom?
You do the powder. Oh wow,
sir!
So
start doing that shit now.
At some point,
Rock,
just a spank.
I'm gonna need you to think about this because we're gonna get to before we end. We have to do a snack of the year. I need you to be ready for that. We're gonna have a winner of the year.
Is everybody getting the sound effects? By the way,
yeah.
They're
kind of low. Okay. We're gonna have a snack of the year. We're gonna have our winner of the year. And of course, our burial of the year. I think I know who the burial of the year is. This is going to be my guess or my pick, but you guys can go with anybody else in wrestling. And this just happened. So before this, I don't really know who it would have been.
Yeah, fuck Puto.
This fool, Bruce Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
Buried of the Pro Wrestling Torch.
What a dumbass.
Journalist. And I'm going to use journalists very loosely.
Very loosely.
Because this dude's trying to win a Pulitzer Prize for breaking open a scandal that doesn't exist.
That he created, that he constructed.
He constructed this whole thing. So the Pro Wrestling Torch is where Wade Keller works. And this guy has been writing for him for a long time, 30 years,
damn,
apparently. So he thought once he heard, you know, the John Huber or Brody Lee news, that he would go digging deep because they didn't give him enough information and he deserves more. Hmm. So he starts deciding to dig, and he didn't actually dig. He just fantasized.
Scratched the surface.
And came up. He didn't dig at all. He just touched the dirt.
And broke a nail.
Broke a nail. Was like, I got it. It was COVID.
No, shit.
So now he thinks that this is a giant AEW cover-up for COVID cases.
Really?
With no proof, no evidence, no nothing. And but his only piece of, I guess, evidence or proof is that AEW has been a little bit quiet about injuries or the reasons behind injuries in the past. Talking about the Matt Hardy thing at All Out, whatever. Like, oh, they didn't tell people he was hurt or they kept the match going. They don't care about safety. So he's trying to push that narrative. WWE apparently has banned the words coronavirus and COVID from any shows, any promos, any mention. There would be no mention of those terms ever.
He's so stupid, man.
It's a Vince McMahonism is what it is. It's a McMahonism.
It doesn't exist.
I miss Morrow.
Me too. Man. So basically he thought that this is wrestling. Wrestling is all full of liars and they try to cover things up. So And he wrote this article that supposedly, and I don't know how true this is, Pro Wrestling Torch usually has a editing process. You write something, you give it to an editor, editor says, let's post this. He said somehow this one, and I don't believe this, this one article didn't go through the vetting process and gets put on online and got fired. You're fired.
You're fired.
So this dude, Bruce Mitchell, might be the worst piece of garbage that exists.
He's swamp trash.
He's swamp trash. He might be lower than swamp trash. So yeah, now you out of work, bro. See ya. And just
the guy who I'm gonna bury is a literal piece of trash too. So I mean, might have all to have right. a trash off.
Keep it going. Yeah. All right, who you got?
Alberto Del Rio.
Enough said on that.
Enough said. This guy got kidnapping charges against him right now.
Oh my god. Yes, he's the burial of the year material. This dude just cannot get right.
Beatings and kidnappings.
it gets worse and worse.
Right. Hearing that news, it's like, man, it wasn't surprising, but it is. It's like, man, some people just don't know when enough is enough. It's like OJ going to jail for stealing his own shit, you know? It's like,
it's like you just got to chill.
It's like, man, like you done got away with so much, and yet you still, it's like,
I'm not going to be Lucha
until I go down.
Oh, man, he was so good in Lucha. So here's what happened in 2020. March 9th, he was arrested in San Antonio after allegedly battering and sexually assaulting his girlfriend. According to the criminal complaint, his girlfriend alleged him to have assaulted and caused injuries on her and smashed her phone and laptop and attempted to burn her passport. She also alleged that Alberto took her downstairs, forced her to strip and dance for him, and proceeded to sexually assault her. Yeah, this is like the worst kind of garbage.
Yeah, fuck him, man.
What the hell?
Dude, if any of y'all watch Birds of Prey, he sounds like Black Mask. He sounds like what that dude was doing on there, ripping the girl's clothes off in her strip in the club and dance. Like, this guy sounds like a straight fucking villain.
A monster. he's just a monster. Did you? Oh, man. I don't know if you guys have seen the HBO show, The Undoing. I should have put that over. It's only 5 episodes. It's so good, man. Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman, like, big stars in it, and it's like this
movie. Yeah, I'll watch it.
It's fire. I saw that other podcast thing was talking about it, and that kind of made
the Bo Budden podcast.
Yeah.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, he got a podcast
with Noel and Dory.
He talked about it
and Mark's music.
BBB. Yeah, it made me want to watch it. So it's fire, and it's only 5 episodes.
I heard them talk about it, but I didn't check it out. But why'd you bring it up? Because Hugh Grant was a monster in that?
Yeah, basically, there's a monster in that same story, like same kind of vein that maybe they based it on Alberto. JoJo said we should bury Nate Robinson. He should be the burial of the year.
Leave that boy alone, man. Nate still ain't got up yet.
He got buried under the canvas.
Nate's still asleep.
He got his own burial under the canvas, so he good.
Nate, I'm going to blow some of this monogram for you, man. One day you'll get up and you'll get
to that. He just didn't have the reach, man. He just...
No. He didn't have the skills. He didn't have the power, talent.
He didn't have the movement.
He fought like a T-Rex.
Yeah, he reached for the stars. He reached for the stars, and then he got knocked out on the moon.
Sleep. Oh, my gosh. Neo, do you have a burial candidate for this year?
I'm gonna bury that puto senator that's blocking all of our Trumpito money. What's his name?
Oh, Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch, yeah. That's the guy.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell.
Turtle man. Yeah.
He looks like a tortoise penis.
Google this man. He looks like a human tortoise.
Let's roast this motherfucker.
Know what's going on.
He looks like what you look like when you get the coronavirus and it takes over your whole body.
Damn. he looked like what it probably looked like to get the coronavirus vaccine. God damn.
When they say that Republicans are lizard people who live underneath the, you know,
at their Earth's core.
Like, he's the spokesperson for that. I think that's what
that should have me cracking up on the Bo Budden podcast.
Hey, yo, hey, wow. This nigga's chin is where his mouth should be. Like a yo. Fucking Muppet, PBS body ass nigga.
Yeah, he looked like
Franklin.
He looked like the cockroach off Men in Black when he was wearing the human.
It's a long trip. I don't need a snack.
Yo, he's Franklin the turtle. No
sugar.
He looks like he died 10 years ago.
Give me sugar.
Oh God, he's
so like, do you this? Think there's a little machine controlling his body, like a little alien controlling his body?
No, like, not that one. Like Men in Black? Not the one with the little alien. The one who was the roach.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, like this.
He had Edgar. He had to tighten it up.
An Edgar suit.
Edgar suit.
We're waiting on Tommy Lee, at, man.
These are three quality burials. These are the worst of the year.
Damn, that boy ugly.
Oh, I'm just saying, yo, rent's due like tomorrow. Like, I could use some extra money.
For real.
You're gonna get that 600. It's gonna get direct deposited to you.
Better go sell that ass, Neo.
I think I'm gonna open up an OnlyFans to show off all my wrestling shirts.
Hey, that motherfucker built like a melted
with the nipples cut out.
Cream of wheat.
All right, so I want to get into some
oatmeal body ass.
Oh, we can always bury the Cheeto man. Don't worry, he's burial of the millennium.
Oh, that's only three. Who else burying somebody?
We need more. We got.
I think we good on the burials.
I don't know if you can beat those three.
Yeah,
but
you
can't
really beat those three.
All right, so I want to get into this Cronenberg and shit. And then I want to get into some Brody Lee stuff. So, Brock, do you have a snack of the year?
I do.
It's been a bad year.
This would be the third annual Rock snack of the year.
Oh, what's just you're like evolve your list, man. Come on.
That mania snack.
What do you mean?
Is it so? Is it when you say third annual? Does that mean like it's like
it is the third annual?
Oh no. Okay, so I think I might have misheard you. I thought you were like saying like this is the third time.
Like the winner was going to be the same.
Yeah, the winner was going to be the same. My bad.
Oh no.
Excuse me.
We didn't have no voting process this year.
Nah, you didn't have no voting process last year either.
It's all on Rock.
I am going to give it to the unfortunately recently released in the past couple of months from the WWE. She is a favorite. She went by Zelina Vega. She's more commonly known on Twitch as Thea Trinidad, which is her actual government name, as G1 likes to refer to people in their government names. Zelina Vega is my choice of snack of the year.
Don't worry, you'll be able to see her on OnlyFans.
She is already on OnlyFans. It just costs too much.
He checked.
I'm an Alice the Black fan. So
Nia has fallen off. Nia has been dethroned.
Oh no! Nia is still the queen. Nia is still Big Fine. You know, just had to share the wealth. Nia was the inaugural.
I respect it. It was Nia, and then it was Danny Fernandez.
We might have to name the award after Nia. Just make it the Nia Jax Snack of the Year Award.
I like it. I like that idea.
I tell you what, the snack of the year that was like, you know, for myself is probably gonna be Tay Conti.
Oh my god.
I didn't know what I was missing, but I got to quote unquote know her this year by watching her perform, and yo, she's bad all the time.
That makes it sound worse than it was. I want to know her.
No, Ren, she is a fantastic.
Are you able to do a poll in your Twitch?
Yeah, I could do a poll.
Can we get Neil's a poll?
Got a poll right now.
Can we get a poll? Can we get a poll on who the fans think the snack of the week is? I mean, the snack of the year between the three past winners. So we got Nia, we got Danny, and we got Zelina.
Okay, snack of the year. We got Nia.
Drippy.
All right, Nia Jax.
Yo, Smug Zug ain't shit.
Danny, who would you pick between those three, right?
And Thea,
you see that, Neo?
Yeah, fuck Smug. Fuck you, Smug.
Yo.
Wait, you never going to let that shit down.
What is Smug? He's talking about the McRib?
Yo, he's out there stalking up with a McRib in each hand.
Put my wiener in that McRib.
Hey, Rock, that sounds like a hard triple threat to pick from, huh?
All right, so you have 2 minutes.
I would like to be in that fiddle for
the poll has Hell been yeah. created, I think. I don't know if I did it right. Smug, if I didn't, I got all right, up top. With
them three. Any man in that fatal four-way wins.
pretty much. There's no loser in that situation. Nope. All right, no. So snack of the year poll
Bluetooth.
Of last year's, of the last few winners is up now. They if you'd like to vote. Winner of the year. This is the person that you feel like maybe had the best year in pro wrestling.
Wow.
It's a hard one. Because, you know, the year in wrestling is almost like 3 years. It's like up to Mania.
And it kind of feels like a blur. Like, it kind of feels like a blur in between. Because me personally, I when it came to wrestling, I was so on and off. And it was probably a mix of, like, seasonal depression, actual depression due to COVID, you know, learning a new routine and realizing that your sheltering in place routine is just so much different and therefore just causes you to I kept relegating back to common television and video game, you know, viewership or entertainment. Like, I just didn't feel like, and it was comforting. This year's wrestling wasn't as comforting to me as previous year's wrestling.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. To me, I feel the other way, man. Like, wrestling was the only constant for me this year, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's good, though.
Like, everything switched up, changed, flipped, turned upside down. And, like, that's, man, WWE is right, man. That then, now, forever stuff is real. Like, they will keep going. And so I think that was the only semblance of kind of normalcy for me, is to be able to still watch Raw, to still watch, you know, SmackDown, to catch pay-per-views once in a while.
My Miss Conti ain't on this poll. Man, I ain't voting in this poll. Fuck this poll.
Oh, you went to Conti? Looks like Thea Trinidad is the winner.
I'm not mad. For winner of the year, Conti, though.
She bad.
No slight. What was that?
Yeah.
You got a winner.
For winner of the year, even though we didn't see her in action for a lot of 2020 for reasons that are very understandable, considering the run she had in 2019 and the run I think she would have continued to have in 2020 had she not been knocked up by Seth Rollins.
Oh, Becky Lynch.
I think Becky Lynch, man, the way she was able to relinquish a title, never lost it.
Never lost.
You know, gave birth to a beautiful little baby.
Right. She had a baby this year, so she won.
That's winning.
Yeah.
You're right. And what she did last year is what set her up
incredible.
To be able to do that. Like, her run last year was nuts.
Did she have a son?
They had a son.
They had a boy.
Yeah.
The man has a boy.
And he is already more capable of doing a buckle bomb than his daddy.
I also wanted to mention, we didn't talk about, I thought somebody who is, again, taking what she's been given and made the most of it this year and been another quarantine wrestling star, Rock's favorite, Asuka. I think Asuka has done a lot of taking what she's been given and working with it, like going from Kabuki Warriors breaking up to, you know, she's being funny and silly to, like, I think that she's been whatever they needed her to be throughout this year, which I think has been, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Have you seen Asuka's YouTube? It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, nope, I haven't.
I have not. She's a big time gamer.
I watch Kana-chan.
Yeah, she builds arcade cabinets and goes on adventures and all that cool stuff. It's pretty cool.
My winner for the year is going to be Roman Reigns.
Okay.
I know he's only been back for like half of the year or maybe less than that. But, I mean, hey, he came in, wrecked everybody and leave or whatever his shirt said, got the title, and, you know, it's been the Roman show. I mean, you know, what's Roman's on what? Is he on SmackDown or Raw? Sorry.
SmackDown.
Yeah, so, and SmackDown is the better show right now. It's more condensed, and, you know, it's the Roman show right now. So,
excuse me.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's his show. And he's been able to elevate his cousin. Like, what else can you ask for to be able to be like, I'm going to make my cousin a main eventer? You know what I'm saying? Like, that was dope. I can't argue with that. G1, you got a winner of the year?
I definitely got a winner of the year, man. I'm on the wrestling side. I'm going to have to say my favorite faction right now, still the Undisputed Era. I love how those guys literally take one particular NXT pay-per-view event every year, and they dominate and they make that their thing. They are
big into the mic, sir.
Right, speak up.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah. Don't let the Undisputed Era get you all choked up, man. Speak up.
You stupid. I'm sorry. I'm high. Can y'all hear me better now?
Yes, much better.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. So I was saying that, first of all, just that whole War Games dynamic with War Games kind of being their event really at the end of the day. So you can't have an NXT War Games without the Undisputed Era. You know, all of them guys are really at the top of their game right now, and people are finding out something that I said a long time ago this year, that Kyle O'Reilly definitely has solo star potential. Like, we talked about the match with him and Finn Balor. Listen, Kyle O'Reilly is no fucking slouch. They let him loose.
That would be my only knock on the Undisputed Era this year, is I figured by now those guys would all be legit champions, solo forces and champions. You know what I'm saying? That's my only knock with UE. Like, they're cool. They're the coolest thing going to NXT. But, like, those guys haven't branched out and become champions on their own yet. Like, really big names yet, you know? That's might be my only knock.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that.
They've had the North American, right?
They've had belts. But, yeah, I feel like they should be in the top feuds in the company, you know?
Hey, real quick, little news came in. They said 2 hours post Dynamite, all them Brody Lee shirts sold out.
Wow.
Within 2 hours.
That's awesome, man.
100% of the proceeds go to the family.
Good. They deserve it, man. They deserve it.
I saw that some of my friends went to the show. They said that they didn't have shirts there for sale because that was, I guess, a blizzard in Chicago where Pro Wrestling Tees is, so they couldn't get them out. But you order online, and how you sell out at Pro Wrestling Tees? They can just go make more. So how do you sell? they got a big machine. Like, I don't. How do you sell out?
And multiple machines.
Slander to
many machines.
The minimum on Pro Wrestling Tees.
But maybe they did a minimum run. But, like, you could just literally go. Like, I go into that store. We were there. And you just hold up a shirt and be like, hey, do you got this in a 3X? And I'll be like, no, I'll go make it right now. And they just take it to the back. And then it comes out in 15 minutes. So
warm.
Okay. Yeah, you get it nice and warm. I saw that CM Punk and Foley were giving their proceeds from their shirts to Brody's family this week. So if you are interested in wanting to support the family, go get a tee. That's the best way.
I had a question. So I saw that. So they gave Brody's son a contract.
They did. Minus one is his Dark Order number.
That's really sweet.
That was cool. Is this their way of?
Are they gonna be paying, like, you know, supporting Brody Lee's wife and kids now? Is that their way of, like, saying we're gonna sign you now so that you can be getting paid and make money?
I think so. I mean, he's interested. He's very interested in wrestling. So, like, if he ever wants to get training later, they say whatever he's ready now.
But that would be what I was thinking. Like, okay, so they're gonna put him.
He's already bigger than Marco Stunt.
So that you can make what Brody Lee was making, so that you can get paid.
He could already powerbomb Marco Stunt off the stage.
The way I kind of relate it to is kind of like, you know, when that person passes away, kind of taking over the pension of that person, you know, it's kind of how it feels like. So I'm happy that they were doing that. I think, like, the pay or the contract that Brody Lee was in is just going to go to the family and you know,
right. Saying, like, so that they can still make money, you know, mm-hmm. I would say that Brody Lee was, like, one of the one of the main pushes of him going to AEW because she knew he wasn't happy. So it's like, you know, I'm not sure what type of money they would still be getting if this happened while he was over in WWE with them being independent contractors. I don't know if they have like a pension or anything if they pass.
I don't think so. They just wrote a check and kept it moving. So someone in a group that I follow was like, I thought this was a beautiful gesture, but don't get me wrong. Maybe I'm being too nitpicky, but I would rather see AEW set up a trust or something for both of the kids that they could have access to and do whatever they want after they, you know, were 18. But sure. For all we know, and again, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know that.
We don't know, and that's where I wanted to get to, is that they could have done that as well. Like, we don't know.
And also, just to play devil's advocate, I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, AEW and anybody who's helping is not obligated to help at all.
No.
You know, so whatever right. they're doing is incredible. But by no means are they obligated to do anything. You know, it's dope that they did. And I'm sure there's probably a lot behind the scenes that we're never going to know about. And it should stay that way, mm-hmm. you know. But
right. You but, know. You know, I get you when you being real. He didn't die in the ring. So he didn't die of thought of AEW or anything. So, yes, anything sure. that they're doing sure. just sure. to take care of, you know, someone that they love and care about, fallen soldier, making sure that his family is straight, you know, like any soldier should do. But mm-hmm.
I'll say this much, though, man. When I saw the...
You can't start saying what somebody should do or they need to do this or do that, because then you kind of get caught up in that situation where it's like, well, yeah. if this happens to more people, you can't expect the company to be able to do that type of stuff for everybody. So just yeah. be happy that they are going to take care of them in the way that they can.
Yeah, they're doing a lot more than most and more than they have to. So it's dope to see them.
I think the scariest part of everything that, you know, regarding this situation, it didn't actually dawn on me until today when I actually saw when I saw the graphic. And they may have put his date, you know, the year he was born, the year he died. He was 41 years old.
Yeah.
41, bro. Like, I'm 40. 41. I just turned 40. See? and that man
That's scary, bro.
Exponential. He was in exponentially better shape than I'm in.
It makes you think.
And
brings your mortality
to pass from a non-COVID related lung issue at 41. That is scary, man.
It was a true gut punch to realize the fragility of the circle of life, man. Like, it's just so scary to just think that. From one week to the other, bro, like it can really turn around. So I think when they kept saying, like, take the time to hug your loved ones, man, like, fucking do it, man. Like, yeah, hug your loved ones, because it's just so scary. Like it was a rude reminder that happened, and it was just awful. So everyone out there in the chat and you know, even right now, Ran, Teak, G, Rock, I love you guys, and I appreciate everything y'all do for me, and much love to you guys, man. I definitely do love you guys.
Yeah, man.
I mean, absolutely, I love y'all, you too, man. Here in Arizona, absolutely. You know, where this podcast is stationed, we got to see that happen with Trap, you know? Like, just how quick something can turn for the worse, and, you know, like, so, what happened with Brody Lee is like, man, like, yeah, he wasn't off TV for that long, but just, you know, when something is, whatever the situation might have been, once they found out about it, it could have been too far along, or it could have just been, like, hella aggravative or whatever.
You know, where like things
aggressive,
just hit
like, you know, just taking them out fast. Like, we saw Trap go from, like, you know, weight-wise, you know, built like a gorilla to, you know, got ate away looking like, you know,
he was built. He was fit, like what Rock said. You know,
man.
Like, I wonder how Brody Lee was looking, you know, when he passed. But it's just crazy because I never even, when he was off TV, I never once thought like, oh, something would be going on. You know,
never really said he was sick. It was just
we don't
thought he was injured or something
like that. And you know, obviously, everybody, just like Rand was saying with that guy he buried. Everyone wants to contribute COVID to everything that's going on. And that's why in the group chat, I had sent you guys that that Blue Meanie post that he had made on Instagram, where it was saying, like, you know, it's the families, you know, it's up to them whether they want to let you guys know or not. Yes, the fans want to know.
Yep.
But yeah, if they don't want to tell you guys what it is, that's up to them.
None of your business.
At the same time, there are things out here that can affect you lung-wise that is not COVID.
And we have to remember that we are guests in their world.
Yes. Like they don't owe you anything. Like, that's exactly what it comes down to. Like, these people don't owe us anything. They give us their bodies. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, so but they don't owe you anything else. He thought he had the flu or something, and then, you know, he has to get, you know, a lung removed or something like that. It's like, man, that stuff, it hits you like that. So, yeah, you know, like Neo said, you know, all of us, you know, getting up there in age now, and the fragility and, you know, just bringing your own mortality into question. So, yeah, man, I want all of us to start taking better care of ourselves, man. You know, even though if something is going to happen, it's going to happen. Just like Rock said, that guy was in great shape. But still, we're not all in great shape.
The things you can control, we should try to control them.
Exactly.
Sure.
If that happened to him and he was in great shape and we're not in great shape,
and
we need to start trying to make sure that we're in better shape to be able to fight some of this new stuff that's coming out. I heard that you know, it's a new strain of COVID coming out around here. Somebody was talking about that it's some killer
Colorado got a case.
A new strain of gonorrhea going around, so y'all better be careful.
Man.
Better stay inside.
But yeah, man.
Wrap it up tight.
Life's short, man, so just take care of yourselves, man. Take care of each other. We don't know what tomorrow's not promised. Hug your loved ones. Just like what I was told when I, you know, got married, one of my homies was like, well, this is the easiest thing I can give you is don't go to bed angry at each other. You know, and I say that about anybody I love. I make sure I'm never going to leave a conversation with something unsaid. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm angry or whatever, I'm going to be like, hey, I was tripping. You know what I'm saying? And like, try to fix that, because you just don't know.
You don't want that guilt. You don't want to go on bad terms with anybody.
Not at all, man. So
me and Rand both lost our fathers this year. So, you know, it's like,
yeah, man. You just don't know, dude.
Me and my grandfather weren't on the best of terms before he died. He died in 2018, a year before my stepfather did. And it fucked me up every day. And I ain't had a chance to tell him I love him. So, everything Rand's saying is fact.
Like, let that shit go. Try not to leave the you know, leave something unsaid. You know, I really believe in that. So, and I agree with Teek saying for next year, man. Like, let's set a health goal, you know, and do our best.
Yeah, I remember we were supposed to do that before, Ram. But yeah, let's do that, man. Let's make this health pack.
Even if it's just one thing, like, all right, cutting out sodas, or, you know, not drinking every day, or, you know what I'm saying, like a small thing that can kind of change your direction.
Why B1 opens up a soda?
No, this ain't soda. This sparkling water, bro.
Okay. Yeah, you just murdered Chipotle, though, son.
Oh yeah. But say that was veggie bowl.
It's pretty healthy, though. So,
you know,
Chipotle healthy there, than a motherfucker.
You can already see how Rocky is. I know we all grown men and don't nobody want nobody over their shoulder. Like, hey, what's that you eating?
Hey, what you got? Hey, no more.
Hey, my fault. It's these fault. Fault.
Hey, y'all, let's
no more McRibs, Neo. No more.
Let's just split a McRib. Let's do portion control.
What, a split? Okay.
Man.
So, yeah, I want to end with something positive, man. Let's talk about Brody Lee. Any memories, any favorite matches, anything you got. If you don't have anything, that's fine. I want to just kind of end with that and go out on a good note. And I want to talk about, I think it was, I'm getting the years mixed up. I don't know if it was 2017 when the whole Wyatt thing went down and Randy Orton was a part of it.
Yeah, and when they won the title, the tag belt.
He won the tag belt with Orton, yeah. And and then later on, Bray went on to win the main title. I really thought, and Bray fought Randy at Mania, I thought that match should have been a triple threat. I really thought, I just knew, like, oh man, like Harper should have been in that match because he was so hot up until that point. And, like, I remember that was the moment where I was like, oh, dang, like, this dude can go. You know what I mean? And, like, I remember we were in Phoenix and the crowd was chanting for him, like, Luke, Luke, Luke. And I was like, yo, he's kind of over. So I don't know if I could go with an actual match from that point, but if I did, it would be Elimination Chamber 2017. Luke Harper versus Randy Orton.
Very good one.
Very, very good match. And I think to me, when I saw this match and how it ended, I was like, oh, well, I think this guy's a main eventer. Like, you know, so I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised at how that match went. And so I would say, please watch that. If you haven't watched the, what was it, Battlegrounds, Triple Threat, Shield?
Usos?
Oh, yes.
Battleground with the Usos. Was it the Usos or the New Day?
No, I think
it was. Or was it both?
Maybe they did both. No, no, it was Usos. You're right. 2014.
It was Usos, yeah. Like 26, was it 14 or 16?
That was 14. 16 was...
Was New Day 16?
Was it New Day or Shield? I'm mixed up now.
Okay,
but
okay.
2014, I had that in front of me. Battleground, Usos match, fire. Oh, my God.
That's when the Usos was doing the old Samoan gimmick.
That was
with the colorful face paint. Yeah. Oh,
they was coming out doing the Ciba Tau.
Yeah.
But I always loved
what
the.
What is Rand doing?
You know, I was doing the.
Rand was cruel.
He's doing the Rand
was doing like an old man in the club. You had the Spice Adams.
the Margarita?
Yeah, that's the Margarita. Anybody who I love the big guy versus little guy tag team matches, like, yes. I love those dynamics, you know, like being able to throw these guys around and all that. And that's a great one for that. So if anybody has any other, even more recently, or just some classic Brody Lee memories to let the people go on.
I had the pleasure of standing face to face with Mr. Lee. That was really cool. WrestleMania after party, New York. Yeah. Somehow I ended up in a conversation circle. It was Braun Strowman. It was Randy Orton, who I didn't realize was tallest. Fuck.
Yo,
he's like 6'6".
He's like a real life action figure. Like that dude is.
Yeah, he really is.
so Braun Strowman, Randy Orton, Kim, Randy Orton's wife, who is about this high, so I don't know how that works. And
I know how that works.
I'm too high for this shit, man.
Cox.
Listen, and John Huber, aka Luke Harper at the time, aka Brody Lee.
Yeah.
Man, I shook his fucking hand, man. I was just like, you one of the best.
You don't know how you put a round peg in.
Jesus, man.
Well,
I just want to offer my condolences.
Any Brody memories? Do you have any Brody Lee memories? Or
I mean, man, just him with the Wyatt family. He was a strong worker. That discus lariat.
Yes. Talk about that clothesline.
His big
God
boot.
Damn.
Like he. Mm-hmm.
I always felt it the Harper Lariat from now on. I hope they do.
Yes, Harper Lariat.
Always,
let's go.
Always felt like Rowan, you know, shout out Rowan being there with the sign and everything. But during their tag team, and I always felt like Rowan brought them down, you know? When they tagged together as Wyatt, I always felt like Rowan ate the pin. He was the reason why they lost and stuff. I'd be like, man, Luke. I was like, Luke got so much potential. He can get away from Rowan.
He can get away from Rowan. That's funny. Like, he was the guy who would take the pin. Like, that was just his job.
And then they put them together as the Bludgeon Brothers, and I'm like, man, they just can't get away from each other.
I liked the Bludgeon Brothers for a minute, then it just kind of wasn't that great anymore.
It would have been cool. It was cool for a minute, but I think you just can't, you know, just like we were talking about, like, the Viking Raiders. I think, like, guys like that, Viking Raiders, the Bludgeon Brothers, like, stuff like that can work in NXT because NXT people want to have fun and we more want to give things benefit of the doubt, I feel like. And I feel like WWE dudes are jaded. So when you see people carrying around these big-ass sledgehammers, it's like, come on now, what the fuck? You going to use that shit or what? What you bring?
Right, they never use it. They would leave it at their ring. I saw it's a really good interview, him and Emilio Sparks on that other thing. And they have a good chat, and he talks
with those other guys.
how he used to come to the ring with so much gear and how he had to remember all of his gear and remember his hammer. And he was like so afraid he was going to forget something. So Rowan would have to like remind him and like do checks with him. But yeah, like when I heard him talk, I was just like, man, like why didn't they let this dude talk? Like, I feel like WWE had a, they had something with, you know, they really did. And I think making him that the Brody Lee character that that wound up on AEW, I'll never forget that match. Me and Neo were just talking about it, where he destroyed Cody Rhodes. I mean, destroyed, like destroyed, beat the brakes off Cody.
You can mollywop that motherfucker.
You didn't see his main event potential in that,
bro.
Match.
Yeah, Cody got no offense, and I'm like, okay, okay. And he just destroyed him, and I was not expecting that. And I was like, okay, I could see him main eventing, like for sure.
Let's talk about that clothesline for a minute. That's the best clothesline since JBL. Even in the game,
beautiful.
That's the best fucking clothesline. Because I can sneak and pull that off as you're getting up. Like, and I don't have to do no kick. I just rotate right into that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, that clothesline, it's a
great
yes.
clothesline. The discus lariat. I watched
the montage of that shit.
You gotta be be in shape, G1, and you gotta have a strong arm. You go ahead and discus lariat. Clothesline somebody if you want to dislocate your shoulder thinking you broke Lee out
there. right
for real. Oh man, so yo, we're gonna probably end there. We have hit the 2 hour mark. I just want to say I appreciate everybody for hanging out, our live audience on Twitch, as well as you listening wherever you get your podcasts, or on Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, I don't know, where else? Stitcher, steelcage.com. Wherever you get them. Give us all the stars. Give us a 5-star like Uncle Dave would never do the WWE. And
tell everybody you love them. Tell your family you love them. Kiss your kids if you got them. Mm-hmm. You know, give people their flowers while they can smell them.
Yeah.
Yeah, patch up them old beefs if possible. I mean, some things are just not repairable, but, you know, if you can, if you're able. You know, just speak your piece. You can't control what somebody else does or whether they give you, but you can always speak your piece and give your, you know, your apology on your side.
Stop putting off till tomorrow what you can do today. You know, it's cliche, but tomorrow's not promised. So if you keep on saying, I'm going to do that tomorrow, you might wake up, you know, like so as a ghost.
I was just about to say.
Yes, watch Soul. If you're a creator in any way, watch Soul, because it's full of, like, gems for creatives.
Know, like Cat Williams said when he was like, you know, you wake up and you in heaven, like, damn, I did eat a salad. Like, you know, you just turn around and your ass be gone. So, you know.
For sure. Also, we have a Pro Wrestling Tees shop at prowrestlingtees.com/MattManiaPod. Go and get a t-shirt. We appreciate you. I think we're still the only store with music. Go get that.
Yeah.
Teak, you got any music coming out soon?
Oh, man, a lot of music that I'm going to be bringing next year, but I don't have no date on when music is going to start dropping. So just fuck with the boy. Just pay attention. We're gonna get some stuff in. Got to get in the lab with you, Ren. You, last time I linked up with you, you let me hear some songs, and that Alphabet song, I want to hear it again, man. It stuck with me. So,
okay, I got it. I'm going to send it to you. So I got a lot of new music coming next year as well. But in the meantime, keep up with us on all the socials at Matt Mania Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Matt Mania Pod. You can go to at G1 The Rescue, at Rock Knowledge, and VVOX, and at Teak_Hall. And me, I'm Megaran.
There's a lot of new productions coming out.
You got some G1 beats coming? Yeah, I was using next.
Man, top of the year single with Bonnie G and Jay Mello will be dropping.
I just want to know when we gonna get that Mega Ran and T Call photo for them G1 beats.
Man, it's time. Mm-hmm. Like everything that's a
2021 resolution.
Everything that Ran was talking about a little while ago, I needed that advice about 5 months ago. Shit. But anyway,
it's all good, man.
It's all good.
You had to get past things that was done, you know, you had to get over hurdles and whatnot. Yeah. But
Excite Bike, you know, you played Excite Bike before on the
team. Oh yeah. You fall, you get back up on the bike, you keep moving.
Yeah, man. And above all else, man, everybody be safe. You know, we're recording this on the 30th. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. You really shouldn't be outside your house any goddamn way.
Get in the
house. But if you decide to venture out, be safe, be smart.
I know we didn't talk about it, but nobody got
the safest possible way.
Nobody has New Year's plans, right? Everybody staying in the house.
Staying in the house.
I'll be at my mom's crib. Yeah,
my girl driving to me, so I'll be at the crib.
Yeah, so
stay put unless, if you can. Please stay safe. And as always, in 2021 and beyond,
human race,
your shoulders
off the mat.
Happy New Year, y'all.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.